the salt parable, how salt makes things preserves and makes things taste better. And one of the inmates says it allows you to tolerate some stuff. So I gave the example of some grits that I got from Chappies. I love Chappies. You know, and grits. And they asked me if I wanted cheese in my grits. I said, no, I don't want any cheese in my grits. I just want my straight up grits. And I got the grits home or whatever, and I started eating the grits. The grits looked good, beautiful white hominy grits. You know, hominy grits. And put the grit in my mouth, and the grits just tasted bland. Yeah. I'm like, I need something for these grits. I need something to help them go down. You know, I'm like, I'm going to eat these grits, but boy, they don't taste like my regular grits. Something's wrong with these grits, and need something to help me tolerate this going down. I could put sugar in it, but that's the Yankees put sugar in. And when you put sugar in grits, it turns into cream of wheat. And every self-respecting Southerner knows, I'm a Yankee transplant, but I've been in the South long enough to know that no self-respecting Southerner puts sugar on grits. And so I need something, and I put some salt on the grit, and the grit went down nice. It was palatable, and I could tolerate it. And when I shared that story, I told them about Katie and Davey and their daughter, and how they were able to tolerate it by not letting go. And them brothers, with some tears in their eyes, began to say, we won't let go of God. We can tolerate this because they did. You preached today. She preached today. God bless you. All right. Let's get started with this lesson. Sure, I can do this right. We are in Matthew 5. We're going to do a quick little summary again. I got to remember all this stuff open where I'm supposed to be at.
Between the A and the T.
Okay, so it says you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. This is just quick review. Now, wait a minute. Let me make sure we got this covered. If somebody lights a candle, do they have an objective for lighting the candle in the first place?
Yes.
The objective is so that the candle can be seen and light up the house. Lest you hit your pinky toe. Now, does it make sense for me to light a candle and put it under the chair? So the purpose is to light it and put it in such a position so that it illuminates the house. Here's your review. God, using this parable, lights us on purpose. And the purpose is to place us in such a position, not under a chair, but to place us in such a position that we shine the light onto somebody else. Got it? This works real well in the prison when these guys are sitting there going, why would I? In fact, one of them, I asked the question, what would prevent you from sharing your light? I said, people judging, embarrassment. I'm like, oh my goodness. But don't you know, you guys will be greater than me? Because you've gone through more than what I'm going through. And God must bless you on purpose so that you can show somebody else through your story how God got you out and now you give him glory. Glory through your story. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden their eyes started turning. They started getting convinced that, oh my goodness. So it's a trick of the enemy that keeps me from being fearful of telling my story because he doesn't want me to share my light with somebody else to show them how they can have a resurrected and restored life by trusting in God. Yes, ma'am.
In this day and time, it's really, you know, anything that's conservative is absolutely awful, and you just keep your mouth shut.
This is simple.
I mean, if you're on the liberal side, you can say whatever in the world you want to say. They're not say anything about God.
Well, you...
I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like I said before,
it's hard.
When you hit potholes, you can lean too far to the left, mm-hmm. and you can lean too far to the right. You know, and it's sad because Righteousness. God is all about righteousness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he also is about justice. You can't have one without the other.
Right.
And when we pick and choose. So if I was liberal, I don't want to go here.
Yeah.
I'll just say this anyway. If I'm liberal, I ought to be fighting for what's missing on the liberal agenda.
Yeah.
Righteousness. But if I'm conservative, and I lean toward the conservative side anyway, mm-hmm. but I can't leave justice undone. That's the problem that I have with politics. Because
yeah.
none of them is righteous. It's almost like you're picking the lesser of two evils. We need to be able to pull this together so that we're all pulling on the same side, because politics separates. God brings together. And if we could bring God, if the Spirit could bring Republican and
unity.
Democrat together, that unity or whatever, where we're really working for the good of God mm-hmm. and not the party.
Right.
Good
yeah.
gracious.
Yeah.
We'd be great. In the meantime, I'm yeah. picking one and praying, please help us. You know. But I understand what you're saying. And when you look at that, you got this whole wheat and tare thing that we've been praying about. We're mixing all of this stuff into our religion. And some stuff I just can't. Anyway.
That's the idea, though, to divide.
Yeah, it is. And we are so divided. I hope that we don't need another 9/11 wake-up call that brings us all together in the midst of adversity. That's why I said you inmates are in pretty good shape, because you already getting your wake up call here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, truly, I believe that's why God allowed the pandemic.
Yes.
Well, I ain't saying nothing, but
nobody's waking up though.
It's not
waking
up.
Well, you know what? It also does. It also shows the insanity
mm-hmm.
of how people are just taking this thing all the way over to the. Anyway,
that's showing the heart of man.
Oh, thank you. Which means, but I'm not scared. I was for a minute, but I'm not scared, because God's still on the throne. So let's just go. So, because they're in darkness.
Right, exactly.
And they need our light.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's right.
And that's where we need to focus, not on a person, but mm-hmm. on the fact that they are.
You start talking about politics, then you just miss God.
That's
yes,
true.
Got to. And you know what? It's going to just start to divide folks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's make sure everybody back in the Jesus thing now. Everybody back, you know, because we might have a whole lot of differences in here. When you look around the room, you can see there's a whole lot of differences up in here. All right, but we got one common thing.
Jesus.
Thank you very much. And if we lose sight of that, then you'll be like Peter out of the boat, and you'll start sinking. And okay, anyway.
Okay.
You're the light of the world. The city that's set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men like. Okay, so we already got all that. All right, so light reveals. We already asked a couple of questions. Let's just go through those questions again. What step in the seven-step process could this be when we receive the light? It is step 4.
Holy Spirit.
Humble. Repent. Repent of what?
Sin, wrongdoing,
mm-hmm. attitude, mm-hmm. hurt feelings. Fired up.
All that sin.
You saying all that sin?
Yes. All that sin.
If I put, okay, wait a minute now. If I put my political party ahead of God, do I need to repent?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You saying that's sin?
All that sin.
No. Just checking. So you got to put all that
behind.
Down.
Right.
And then put your hope in
Christ.
The Lord. Because if you don't do those three, and you try to live for God's glory, you're going to miss it. That's the light. How you get the light. Okay. I got another question. What step in the seven-step process would be letting your light be seen? We talked about this last week.
Mercy.
Step 5, mercy. And 6 and 7. Okay. All right. So once you get it and you're led by the Spirit and you're doing those things for the glory of God,
you just
keep letting your light shine.
Yeah.
Just keep letting it. Just keep flashing that light.
Yeah.
I don't care if they don't get it. Just keep flashing that light. Just keep. It's the light of mine. All right. The light is shining much brighter. Okay. Application. Okay. Here we go. Got some math. special note on verse 15, my special note on verse 15 is God lights us up on purpose. And he will put you in a platform on the shelf where somebody else can see your light and have hope in dark places. Mm-hmm. Got it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Expect to be put in a position where somebody else can see you. He is not going to light us up and then subdue us. He's going to light us up and have us go through things so that that light can be seen by somebody else who needs to see it. Got it? Mm-hmm. All right. If he does it on purpose, it doesn't make sense for him to, I'm going to light up Al, but then I'm not going to let him, you know, I'm gonna let him keep his mouth shut or whatever. No. He lights you up on purpose. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I highlighted this in green because I think it's important. There's a process, as we just went through, those steps on how to get lit up and use your light. You can't be a light until you receive his light. Mm-hmm. Got it? Mm-hmm. Where's the light come from? Jesus. Him. When do we get it? When we get to step 4. If you haven't hit step 4 and you try to shine the light on somebody else, I don't know whose light it is, but it ain't his. Got it? You can't share the light until you receive the light from him. All right. And now we got, what is the process that God uses to light us up? We already went through that. Got to be humble. Can't be a know-it-all. All right. So, let me read to you what Charles Spurgeon says. The text says that the candle gives light to all those that are in the house. Some professors give light only to a part of the house. Okay? I like what Spurgeon says. I like Spurgeon sometimes. I have known women very good to all but their husbands. And they nag from night to night, so that they give no light to them. Mm. Then he goes, I have known husbands so often out at meetings that they neglect home, and thus their wives miss the light. Got it? Sometimes while you're waiting for that platform to give the light to somebody outside, you might need to make sure that you got a light on at the house. Yeah, let me keep going. You're looking at me kind of funny. All right. The object of our shining is not that men may see how good we are, nor even see us at all, but that they may see grace in us and God in us and cry, what a father these people must have. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's from Spurgeon. Okay. Got some questions for you as we get through this section, and I want to go through some other scripture, and then we might get to another parable then. We'll see. You don't have to answer this out loud. How have you shared the light of Christ, which he gave you, with others? How have you shared the light of Christ, which he gave you, with others? Here's another one. How has the light you shared helped to preserve others and or help them more easily handle the problems and burdens on their plate? Kind of like the same thing with number one. So, here you go. What does it mean to share the light with others? Does that mean I'm evangelizing and trying to get them saved? Perhaps. Or is it I'm just trying to encourage somebody who already has the light, mm-hmm. but maybe their light is getting a little dim? Whatever allows them to cycle back and see Jesus, whether it's seeing Jesus for the first time or seeing Jesus once again or seeing Jesus after you stormed the Capitol or seeing Jesus after you done burnt out somebody else's store. You want to go back and make sure because you have that light. Otherwise, other people will be stubborn their pinky toe. Yes, sir.
A lot of times when we share with others, we may not live long enough to see that
The results.
The results.
And my job is to continue to let them shine because I don't know. That's a very that's a very, very good point. Let me share something with you. Write these scriptures down. Al, can you catch this? We're gonna go to John chapter 1. I got 2 Corinthians 3:18, but I don't know if I'm going to use it. But we definitely want to take a look at John 17, too. So John chapter 1 and John chapter 17. And I want to share something that happened yesterday with you. And hopefully I'll be able to do this. Where is it? Oh, there it is. So yesterday, I got a text from a guy who lives in Orlando. Former inmate. Out the blue, sends me this picture of me baptizing him. And he says, saw this picture. 10 years ago today, I got baptized. You baptized me. I want to thank you for... Well, wait a minute. I can just pull it up. Oh, they ain't gonna be able to see that. Anyway, he says to me, stop it! He says, good evening, sir. 10 years ago today, I gave my life to Jesus and you baptized me. Mm-hmm. It's been the best 10 years of my life and it all started that day.
Amen.
Thank you for your yes to Jesus and all the years you've faithfully served and followed him. Your love and your laid down life has made a way for countless guys like me to meet Jesus, the King of Glory. I'm forever grateful and thankful for you. I don't know, in all my years, and all the things I accomplished as an Air Force retiree and my professional job and things like that or whatever, I don't know if I've done anything better than this.
Amen.
And all I did was share my life.
Mm-hmm.
10 years. And I just did not realize it's 10 years. And I'm getting a little older. And I don't have time to waste talking about things that are not lining me up with getting more testimonies like this. So when I woke up this morning, I said to myself, I have no idea why he sent me that. I've known him for over 10 years. And I don't know why he sent that of all days, Earl. And you just kind of pointed something out to me. And then as I woke up this morning and thought about it, I said, the Spirit brought me to this movie.
So my wife got me this weird new tool for Christmas.
And this ain't the movie.
And
all right, man.
I can't wait to hear what that's about.
Yeah,
that
and now it's doing something. Oh,
it's paused.
I paused it by mistake. Heartbreak Ridge.
Oh, I don't do all
this. You want us to hear the sound?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I don't know how.
Please, Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more.
I love what he says here.
Yeah. Help me get one more.
Help me get one more. In his interview, Desmond Doss, He said, just kept saying over and over again, please, Lord, let me get one more.
Strings attached.
Oh.
Many of you have already served in the Pike Road School.
All right, so let me. let me get out of this. Stop it.
So we're just giving the opportunities that God has given us to keep carrying
on. Okay. Oh, here we go. We're down here. All right, there we go. All right,
he's talking about the light
too. Well, I don't know, but Pastor Sermons. And then about the Holy Spirit. So let's do this. I want to get to the scriptures. I want to show them on the screen. I'm going to go to John chapter 1. And the reason why, I don't know why the Lord gave me that, but as I looked at what that young guy said to me, and I thought the Lord brought that back to my remembrance about that movie, and him saying, please, Lord, just one more. I can't stop at what happened 10 years ago. The reason why I do what I do is so that maybe I can get one more into the kingdom. And the thing about it is, you don't have to be on the battlefield trying to get a Medal of Honor and think that I can't make a difference because I'm not set up in those kind of positions or states or whatever that gets one more. In our everyday life, he puts us in a position where when we go through those steps, he has lit us up. And so do you think he's going to give us all of this word and revelation and then not put us in a position in somebody's life to shine? Get your one more.
The Marine code, no man left
behind. No man left behind.
That kind of years ago kind of got to me, because...
Yep.
We have so many people in our world that's going to get left behind.
Yes. Right. We got a responsibility. All right? Okay. Because just like the salt, if we don't, then we're of no good to the kingdom. All right? All right. So, let's find out about this light. All right? Because I think it's good to get some scripture in here that ties it back into this parable. And this is not the... Okay. I thought it was in 1 John rather than the Gospel of John. So let's take John chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, I think is what or 1 through 14. Let's just read this. All right. Which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. All right. That is not, is that the right one?
Yeah. Just, I don't know
what version that is. What version is it? Supposed to be King James.
It's
not
King James.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God.
So I've got to be chapter of... Here we go.
Alright,
in the beginning was...
The Word.
It's capitalized, which is personalized.
Yeah.
And the Word was with... And the word was
God.
So now I don't even want to get into this as to whether Jesus is God. All right. He is a manifestation of God because it says the word was God, which means they were all lined up as one, which is why you don't want politics, you don't want race, and you don't want anything else separating the oneness that we have in the body of Christ.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. Because now, as it says it, we're talking about the deity or the awesomeness of Christ.
Right.
All right. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Who made things? Jesus. And the light, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. People just didn't get it. Don't be surprised, application for today, if you let your light shine and people still don't get it.
Uh-huh. Some of them won't.
Some of them won't. But somebody will. All right. That might be your one or two or whatever. All right. There you go. All right. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. So, who's supposed to be inside of us?
Jesus.
In him is life, and he is the light. So when we have Jesus, we have him, which means we have his
light.
And his life. All right. And maybe we're supposed to be doing what John the Baptist did, which was be a witness of
the light.
There you go. If we're doing good things, but they don't point back to Christ, everything has to point back to
Christ.
Right, because that's the witness. All right, there you go. All right. That doesn't mean you don't do nice things. But even when Christ fed the multitude, it went back to the light.
And that's, to me, why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit, not our flesh.
You better do your good works led by the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, or your good will be evil spoken of.
Amen.
And you will be thinking, ooh, I did such a good thing, but it's not of no kingdom good.
Did you ever meet a person and just total stranger and have a conversation, and you just feel the sense that they're a believer because your spirit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it just happens, and it's always a wonderful thing.
Yep, it is. I was on the basketball court one day, and this guy who I had never met before was on my team, and we won the game or whatever. We made a good shot or whatever, and he walked off the court and said, "Praise the Lord, God is good." I'm like, "Ooh, that hit my spirit right here." All right. We got this conversation. We started talking about prison ministry. I found out that he is interested in prison ministry. I hooked him up with other people. Anyway, let me just keep going. To bear witness of the light that all men through him might be saved. Verse 1 through 7. Verse 1 through 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Which is what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. That was the true light, which lighteth my soul, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Right.
So the light, that's what I'm just pressing upon this. The light that we receive must come from him. Or else you're going to have a different kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Who are we talking about?
Jesus.
And the world knew him not. And maybe that's what COVID and everything else and all the turmoil.
They still
don't get it. Mm-hmm. But the light still needs to go out.
Right.
But folks still don't.
Get it.
Alright. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Rejected him, didn't
he? Yeah, they did. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God that I hope everybody here is in that category. Mm-hmm. All right. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here we go. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the physical incarnation of God in the form of Christ, and dwelt among us. So this is a picture of Christ. When Christ dwelt on the earth, it's a picture of Christ today dwelling in us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want to stop there. Does this help us? I know we know this already, but does this help us a bit understand the importance of this light and our role in spreading this light? Because the light is something that lives inside of us. Are there ways that we can dim the light that's inside of us?
Sure.
Explain.
Sin.
Sin.
The Holy Spirit is
not sharing it.
Not sharing it?
Yeah.
Why would we ever not share it?
Pride.
Sin too. Sin.
Pride. Sin.
If you're not in the right relationship.
Fear.
Fear.
Or lack of self-worth.
Yeah.
I don't have a story like this guy has a story. I don't have a Desmond Doss story. I've never been on the battlefield. I retired from the military, and I've never been on a battlefield. I haven't had that opportunity to drag a bleeding, wounded soldier to safety and say, please just one more. Haven't had that opportunity. So certainly my story and my testimony in my life pales in comparison to everybody else that's famous. You know, I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not a celebrity. I don't have an impact. All right. You can't deny your greatness when something great is inside of you and can do extremely abundantly more than you could ever imagine, all right? Because in that good ground, when your mind's in the good ground, some produce 30, some produce 60, some produce 100-fold, but there's always success. So don't limit what you think you can do for the kingdom out of fear or lack of ability, Moses.
I can't speak well.
I stutter.
Some plant, some water, and some give the increase.
And so understand your role that God has given you the power to operate in, and do your little part of the world, all right? Mm-hmm. And you'll be doing Desmond Doss type stuff. And you may or may not know it, but maybe you'll get a text too one day. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Sure, you don't have to be on the battlefield. I was walking in the barracks one morning, yep. And Nam and a friend of mine, he comes out and says, you hear that? I did, but I'm not sure what it is. We both thought it was crying, so we went down the hall and walked in a room, and there's a young man in there crying like crazy. So we sat down with him and prayed over him and his family, because he was there and his wife had just had their child. Mm-hmm. Back in the States, and he was scared to death. He was never
going to see his child. Yep. Yeah,
but I don't know what happened to him. But that's God.
You, the one thing when we did evangelism around here, we used to always ask for divine appointments.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't want to miss my. I might not be called to be everybody's person, but I got a divine appointment that He's going to elevate me and put me in position on purpose. And I can't be fearful. That's why you got to repent. And make sure your trust is in Him, or else you will miss that divine opportunity.
Yes.
And I'm kind of greedy because I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to get me a big old mansion up in there. If you miss out on it, I might just scoop it up and stick my tongue out at you.
And I pray all the time that I don't miss the opportunity.
Yeah, and I know I've missed some.
I don't want by it, but not sure I do.
And fear will keep you.
Yes.
Fear will keep you. I don't have a story. I don't have. Fear will keep you from doing what God wants you. You got to repent of that too.
Yeah.
We are so valuable because He invests in us to do kingdom work. You can't belittle the gift that He has put inside of you because it is an awesome power. Awesome. It saves lives.
If you're valuable enough for Christ to die for you on the cross, you're valuable.
Absolutely.
Amen.
How do we miss that? Okay. John chapter 17, a couple of verses here. These words spake Jesus, and He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. No, that's awesome. I'm a son of God. I want Him to lift me up so that I can glorify Him. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should have eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal. Don't miss this. This is His prayer. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and
Jesus
Christ whom Thou hast sent. If we're doing things that don't eventually point back to Jesus Christ, you are missing.
Sometimes He just puts someone or a family or something like that on our heart to pray for, to intercede, to stand in the gap.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Verse 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth. We should be looking to glorify. How can we glorify God on the earth? I have finished the work Thou hast given me to do. What is the work that He has given us to do? Spread the light and make disciples.
Spread the light.
And now, O Father, glorify me and with Thine own self, with the glory which I had before with Thee before the world was, because we saw in John chapter 1, the deity of Christ. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou hast given me out of the world. Ooh, I'm so glad I'm out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. What are we supposed to do?
Keep
the word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me. What are we going to give somebody else? Wait a minute. He gave us what?
The word.
So that we could eat it and get obese and get big?
No.
So that we can give that word that He put in us into somebody else, because His word is life.
Amen.
And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from Thee. And they have believed that Thou didst send me. And that's what we need to be letting people know. All right. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. There's a oneness. He's inside of us. We're one with Him. All mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Oh, my goodness. When we do what He's telling us to do, we glorify Him, and by glorifying Him, we glorify the Father.
Did you ever put me in this section? That Jesus is praying for me?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not just praying for the disciples. He's praying. Oh, well, let's see what He's praying for. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. This is His prayer. Mm-hmm. And I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. All right, here we go. And now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I wonder why. Because we are salt and preservatives for the world. But that thou should keepest them from evil. Praise God for that. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's why you got to be careful with politics and race and your job and all that other stuff that's in that thorny field that causes you to shift from being fruitful to unfruitful. Nothing trumps the kingdom. I didn't say those other things ain't important, shouldn't be considered, but they don't trump or override the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. All right. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even though have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself or separate myself, that they also might be sanctified through faith. Oh, and here you go. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these 12 alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Which means everybody, because we're believing and have faith in the word of the gospels that are coming out of this book. And because of that, he is praying for us. Good. Thank you, Lord. He is praying for us in advance. And when we do what the disciples did according in obedience to God and understand the divine position that God has blessed us with to light us up on purpose, to light up a dark world, everybody that receives the seed from those parables, everybody that receives our testimony and the word that we receive, they get prayed for too. Amen. That they all may be
one.
Don't you see that the world is a trick of the enemy to separate the believers? That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Which means the power that Christ has is the power that we have. You cannot belittle the gift and the power that's inside of you at level 4. It's called the Holy Spirit. You will do things that you never thought you could do before. You will handle things that you never thought you could handle before. Not through your might, but through the indwelling spirit that lives within you. Everybody here has a ministry. Yes, ma'am.
I don't think I would have been able to handle the idea if I had known 3-4 years ago where we were going in Jerry's journey.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just glad that God didn't tell me that.
Right.
Because, you know, as I said all along, one day at a time, God's in control, and that's all he can do.
Right. I don't think Joseph would have signed up for what he went through. Wait a minute. I'm going to be the head, not the tail. They're going to bow down to me, but I'm going to spend some jail time. I'm going to be in the prison. I'm going to be living, you know, working this god-awful job. I'm going to be, I'm going to have to shave my beard. I'm going to have to get a haircut. Come on now. I can't go through all that. So he gives us what we need to know.
What we need to get there.
Amen. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. You know God wants to glorify you. He wants his glory to shine on you. You know when you see a moon in the sky and it shines? Where's that coming from? Yeah. So in nature, God reflects what he wants to do spiritually in us. So just change S-U-N to S-O-N. And we're still a reflection of him. I just need to make sure my mind is in the right ground. All right, let's wrap this up. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Praise God. This world is not my home, which thou hast given me, for those lovest me before the foundation of the world.
I like that 29.
Oh, you did? Oh, I just got off. What's 29 say?
Oh, it's on 29. All the world doesn't know you, but I do.
Oh.
25.
O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Let me tell you a truth. If you're saved in this place, God has sent you to somebody else. All right. That is the lesson. I will show you where we are going to be next so you can prepare. Hold on. Let me share my screen again. I got so many windows open. I got to figure out which one it is. Okay. Let me see if I make sure. Oh, yeah. We're getting ready to do a different one now. All right. So, any thoughts or comments about today's lesson? Anybody got some work to do? Yeah, all right. Okay. So that completed Lamp Under a Basket. Next week, if Jesus tarries, if you want to read ahead, we will look at the wise and foolish builders. All right. Remind me to tell you this. Somebody remind me where we're going to. Remind me to tell you this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And Luke chapter 6. We'll look at both accounts, all right? As we go through this, remember the Samson story and notice that your success can blind you and lead to catastrophic failure. Got it? Remind. Your success can blind you and lead you to catastrophic failure, which is why every day I have to get up and pray through those steps to make sure I'm not missing anything or building upon this day the wrong stuff. Got it?
Reference in Luke.